出。
A little chilly upstairs, huh? Cool. Actually, cool. Yep. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. You guys have a good week? Really? Huh. I got a little sinus thing going this morning. I had a big sinus thing going on yesterday, so it's less today, so we're doing better today. So, I was kind of excited today because I really don't know what I'm preaching on. I'm waiting on the Lord to do His thing. Huh? So we need to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to let Him do His thing. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your precious throne. Father, we just want to be in total obedience to You. We want to be open to Your Word. We want to be led by Your Spirit. We want to say what You once said. And Father, we're just here. We're just here to listen to the words You're going to speak. Father, I open my mouth and just allow You to work through me and say what You once said. Father, it can be applied to our lives. We can use this, Father, in power and strength in following You. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Cool. You look at the bulletin we're preaching on today, John 15. John 15. Julie asked me last Sunday, a couple of things. I got to thank Matt for preaching for me a couple of weeks ago. I had a grandfather thing come up. I had to keep my 9-year-old granddaughter, which is really cool. You know what I'm saying? Which is a good time for grandpas to have. But the neat thing about that is, this sermon would have been different then. I don't think the Lord wanted me to preach that sermon. And I thought, okay. Because after I got to look at this, and I got to look, and I thought, okay. Because it went totally different direction. Because I had some things going on. Everybody ever have any trouble in their life? I'm the only one. A couple, maybe two or three. Everybody else's life is like smooth, right? Yeah. I have trouble once in a while, not often, maybe every day, every couple hours. I have trouble. So, when things come against you, someone you love hurts you, how does it make you feel? Not real good, right? I was in that place, okay? I was in that place. And I was studying and doing this, and I thought, the Lord brought some things to me. I'm like, ugh. You know, in Psalms, I think it's Psalms, what is it, Psalm 58? No, Psalm 80. There's talks about some things, but there's a psalm I'm looking for, and I didn't write it down. Psalms, there's a place in Psalms that says, God collects your tears in a bottle. Okay, did you ever hear that? Anybody ever cry? None of us guys do. We're all tough. We don't cry. We're tough, right? God collects your tears in a bottle. And it's kind of neat because in olden times, people that was going to a funeral, they collect their tears in a bottle and they would put them on the grave. That was kind of a memorial thing. Pretty cool, right? God collects your tears in a bottle and remembers them. Isn't that cool? Matt was talking today about God's everywhere, right? He knows everything. Why don't He share with me? You ever wonder about that? Wait, let me know! You ever wonder about that? I'm the only one. Okay. I'm the only one ever thinks, man, God, why don't You just enlighten me? Yeah, okay. John 15 is an interesting chapter. It's called the Vine. Kind of starts there. And we're just going to read through it. And I want to try and tie this with some stuff. And I want you to kind of see some things that the Lord has showed me. Okay. It says in chapter 15, it says, I am the true vine. My Father is a vine dresser. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I'm a vine. And my Father is a vine dresser. Does it mean much to you today? Really? Not much. You know, in the Old Testament, there's quite a few verses of Scripture that correlate the children of Israel, the tribe of Judah, that tribe, Israel, the Hebrews, as being a vine that God has planted. Okay? He's planted this vine. And He's basically what Christ is saying here, which says, I'm the essence. I'm the personification of that vine. Think about that. And the reason I bring that all up is because it'd be like the United States. Everybody knows the American Eagle. I mean, that's the American Eagle. I mean, that's the American Eagle, right? Jesus is the American Eagle of the children of Israel. He is that essence. He's that. When you see Him, you're like, ooh, that's the vine. That's the children of Israel. That's what He's saying here. And He said, my Father, He's a vine dresser. What's a vine dresser do? Anybody ever prune trees or anything? Once in a while? I used to work for an apple orchard, and basically in an apple orchard, an apple tree, when you walk up to an apple tree in the spring, anything that's going straight up, it's cut off. They're suckers. They're sap suckers. You cut them off. Because if you don't cut them off, you ain't going to get no fruit, right? That's what the vine dresser does. He cuts off the stuff that ain't going to bear any fruit. And he cuts off stuff from your life that sucks energy out of you so you can bear more fruit other places. Isn't that cool? No, it hurts. That hurts. Let's go on. Any branch of me does not bear, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims it off. And he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. And there's a word picture on my mind here when it talks about this cleansing. When you have grapes, everybody ever see a grape orchard? Like the wine orchard, they grow grapes, means these long lines of, they're only what, like tall? Really short. They're not much to them. You don't want leaves. If you got leaves on grapes, you're not getting grapes. If you got a lot of leaves, you ain't getting grapes. It's just the way it is. So what they do is they trim this. Well, this picture, this word picture here, this cleansing, when one of them leaves, they have string. You see this wire. Put these big fence wires up, and they get this vine grows on this and stays on. Well, what happens when the vine falls off? It gets down in the dirt. It's dirty. The vine dresser comes along, and he picks that up out of the dirt. And he's got a little bucket, and he cleans the dirt off of it, and he reattaches it so it's up out of the dirt. And that's what he's saying here. He cleanses us. And I think that's an awesome picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood cleansing us from our sins. It's an awesome picture. Keep going. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teaching I have discussed with you. This is where it gets interesting. Matt was talking about God is omnipresent. And he is. He's everywhere. He's in everything. Everything is named after God. He's everywhere. Isn't that cool? I think there was a song once I heard. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. You ever hear that song? I listen to some weird music sometimes. Anyway, so if he's everywhere, look at verse 4 here. It says, dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. The Amplified says, live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in. And this word for abiding is kind of cool because being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Check it out. You ever try doing something on your own? I'm the only one. Gosh, man, you guys are good. I'm telling you, I see some heads nodding, but nobody wants to raise their hand, so you don't want to be dumb like me. I try to do things on my own, right? We try to do things on our own. And God said, no, no. If you dwell in me, I will dwell in you. And this word abiding means constant, always present communion with. Constant. Continually. Not stop. Never ending. Abiding. You think you spend all your day with God? No, me neither. We have times when we're looking for Pop-Tarts, right? Probably was pretty disappointed. Like, man, Pop-Tarts. Man. What are you thinking, God? I mean, I need some Pop-Tarts. Really? And God was already there. He worked behind the scenes and got the Pop-Tarts. Huh? Pretty exciting, right? And Morgan, man, look at that girl, huh? She's driving. Wow. So to abide in Christ, to be vitally united to him, you can bear fruit. But if you're not united with him, you can't bear fruit. Check it out. The reason I'm talking to you about this is because when trouble comes to you, the neat thing about being in a valley, the neat thing, you can only look up. Right? You can't look down any farther. You're all the way at the bottom, right? You can only look up. And that's the thing with having problems. When you have a problem in your life, what do? We look at the problem. We don't have Pop-Tarts. We don't have Pop-Tarts. We just focus. We don't have Pop-Tarts. We just talk about Pop-Tarts. That's what we do. We focus on the problem, right? Instead of saying, you know what, God? I need some Pop-Tarts. You know I like them. You know I like them. They're really good. You know I like them, God. And he's like, all right, just one box. The other box, see, Matt, I want the double blessing. I want to be two boxes. See what I'm saying? Huh? But God was working there. It's that what we got to look. When you're looking at the problem, you're focused and you're on the problem and you're thinking about the problem and you're dwelling on the problem, you go, And then I look, ooh, what? You mean I got a God? I got a Savior? He's risen from the dead. He's all powerful, all knowing. He's got it all, and He loves me? Dude, what is that problem now? Then you say, you know what, God? Look at this problem I got. I ain't got no Pop-Tarts. Huh? Isn't that what we do? Look at this problem. And God's like, dude, I'm already on it. I've been on it. But we get on our pity pot. We do, and I'm as guilty as anybody. Get on that pity pot. Well, with me. Keeping my little nine-month-old daughter, granddaughter. It was cool. She's crawling, you know what I mean? She can hold her hand, she'll stand up. You know, she's that point. It's like, cool. And then she does something, you say, no. How do you do? No. I don't even touch it. Just say no. She'll, like that, and then she'll go away. But she knows no, okay? That's me with God. I got to tell you. You know what I'm saying? When He says no, God, I ain't gonna fuck you. Isn't that what we do? That's how we ask with God. And I looked at my God, and I'm like, you know, it's for your best interest that I didn't let you get into that trash can. It's for your best interest. You know that. And she goes on. And we're the same way. God's like, you know, and Pop-Tart, one box would have been plenty. One box is enough, Matt. But you got to get two, right? Well, He gave one to Chris, I'm sure. I'm sure. Without a doubt. I understand how that works. You see what I'm saying? We're the same with God. That pouty lip. And He's saying, you know, if you don't dwell in me, can't do much. So we're in trouble. What do we got? We're kind of sad. We're dejected. Yeah. Kind of pouty lip. You know, woe's me. Let's keep going. Verse 5. It says, I am the vine. It says it again. I am the vine. You are the branches. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I'm the vine. The Father is the vine dresser. And He's talking to His disciples. You and me. We're God's disciples, right? We're His hands and feet. You're the branches. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit. Wow. However, apart from me, you can do nothing. Wow. So if we're not spending time with God, how do you spend time with God? You spend time with God every day? Do you read this word? You know, He sent you a love letter. It's a love letter. You know what? It's a love letter to you and me. And He says, you know what? It took me thousands of years, a couple 1,500 years to put this thing together so you could read it. And it sits on the shelf and draws dust. Most people in the United States have 5 Bibles in their home. Right now there's a big thing on, I think, and I don't remember the place they're taking it. There are people, this is a church, they meet, they have no Bible. They have one. So what they do is, they handwrite copies. Like, okay, I give Les a chapter of Isaiah and Paul. We write copies. And then every couple weeks we switch. And by the end of, I think they says 9 months, they have one complete Bible. Copy. Handwritten. So when they're writing their own copy, they're writing their copy, they're writing another one. So then they have spare copy. But they can't just go down to the store and buy one. And I thought to myself, like, if that Bible, what it says is so important to those people that they will spend 9 months handwriting, copying it down. Kind of important to them, isn't it? And we got 5 in our home and we don't read them. What? Let's go on. Verse 6. If a person does not dwell in me, is thrown out like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and are thrown into the fire and they are burned. You can look at this in a lot of different ways, but it's talking about the unsaved. If they're not going to bear any fruit, in the end, when it comes to the end, at the final judgment, they're going to be burned. Wow. Verse 7. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Wow. I could have just read that one verse, and that'd be like a feel-good song, right? Isn't that song? Yeah. What was the name of that song? You know that song, right? Yeah, I know that song. I heard that song. There was a radio station changing once, and they played that 24 hours straight, repetitively, back to back. Yeah. So I remember the song. But anyway, I could have just done this one verse. We'd have been all happy, right? Yay. If you live in me, and my words remain in you, continue living in your hearts, ask whatever you want to be done. I need Pop-Tarts.
Yay.
Huh? But do you catch what he says? If my words remain in you. What is God's words? It's right here. Written down. How much time do we spend looking at them? To get them inside. To use them. In times of trouble. We're getting there. Verse 8. When you bear much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. You show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. Verse 9 says, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. Amplified says, it says, if you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy, the Lord Jesus Christ saying, he's saying, I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy, you, me, your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. Cool? So how do I get joy when I'm in a bad time? When I'm disappointed in people? When I'm upset with my life situation? If I'm whatever? How do I get joy? Where does it come from? What do? Anybody got any ideas? Matt's got a pretty good one. I need some Pop-Tarts. Huh? And that could be a life-threatening situation. I mean, that could be, right? Pop-Tarts could possibly be. I want to show you something. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Do you ever wonder, let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder, you ever hear somebody pray and think, ooh, that was nice. That was a nice prayer. You ever hear that? You know what I'm saying. You ever hear somebody pray and think, man, I wish I could pray like that. Huh? I want to show you something. When I have something in my life, someone in my life that I'm having a lot of trouble with, and it ain't working out. It ain't getting anywhere. It's just nothing but trouble. I want to show you something. Ephesians chapter 1. There are some prayers in the Bible, and this is, I just picked these out because I want to go to Ephesians 6 before we're done here today. But I want to show you this. We're talking about abiding in Christ and Him being the vine. If we're not vitally united to Him, if we're not licking His Word, if His Word is not in our hearts, we're not getting anywhere. We're spinning the wheels. We're having trouble. Verse 16. Paul writes some interesting. He's got a couple of prayers in Ephesians, but I want to read you this to you. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay, so we know this is a prayer. Paul's praying a prayer. I want to show you something. This is what I have learned to do. I take a 3x5 card. You get them cards you can buy, you know, 3x5, you know, kids have to have or whatever. I take a 3x5 card and I sit down. And verse 17 says, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may grant you, Matt, person's name. That He will grant you, Matt, and I'm using my name to protect the innocent. So, this is how I write it. I say, that you, Matt, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And this here says, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him. By having the eyes of your, Matt, heart flooded with light, so that you, Matt, can know and understand the hope to which He has called you, Matt, and how rich is His glorious inheritance in the saints. So that you may know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited, surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe is demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength. You ever think about that? I can't pray really fancy prayers. I mean, I'm not a fancy prayer. But I can put down, I can write someone's name in this, can't I? I can do this. And it says, that strength which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated them in His own right hand. That's a pretty powerful prayer, isn't it? Huh? That they may know the mysteries of God. That may be glory and strength. That's something to pray for somebody, isn't it? That's something to pray for somebody. You put their name in there. You put that on a card. You read that. You pray that prayer over that person. You pray that. God's word will not return to him void. It's full of power. Power. And it says here, it says, he is seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of God. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is seated at the right hand of God. Huh? Interceding for you and I. Isn't that cool? Do you ever think about that? There's many places in the Bible, prayers that you could do. I want to read you the psalm that I was going to do this verse or this preaching on. What a wimp. Psalm 13. I'm going to read this to you. Listen to this. This is me 2 weeks ago. How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I lay up cares within me and have sorrow in my heart day after day? How long shall my enemy exalt himself over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lighten the eyes of my faith to behold your face in the pitch-like darkness, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am shaken, but I have trusted, leaned on, and been confident in your mercy and loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice and be in high spirits in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Isn't that a powerful lip? That's a power. How long am I going to pray, God, and you're not going to answer? I want to know. And that we do. We get all bleh, right? That's how we act. And we serve a God who came, suffered everything that you and I will ever come against. Think about it. You ever have friends turn their back on you? Christ had it all. He suffered it all. He had people say, man, I don't even know the boy. I've never seen him before in my life. Really? They totally rejected him. And he was alone hanging on the cross. And his Father, God the vine dresser, could not look on Christ when he laid the sins of the world on him. The sin that I committed. He laid it on Christ and he couldn't look at him because God is holy. He had to turn his back. And Christ said, why have you forsaken me? He suffered everything that I have put up with my life and more. And you know what? He did it because he loved you. But that's not the end of the story. He didn't stay in that grave, did he? He came out with power, and he is now, the strength of his power, he's now seated at the right hand of God. Saying, woo-hoo! Huh? Yeah! There's another prayer in chapter 3 of Ephesians. I want to show you this. I just want to show you this because... Sorry for that. When you have someone or something in your life that is really beating you up, don't be afraid to take these prayers out of this Bible. Don't be afraid to take these things and put someone's name in there. And you can pray that and continue to pray that. And when it doesn't seem like God's doing it, you just keep right on praying it. Because you know, he's working on the pop parts. He's got something going on. We've already decided, it ain't going to happen. I'm just going to go over to the cosmetic aisle. That's what we do, right? It ain't going to happen, right? But God's all like, dude, I got this. I got this. I got this. I got some lady working on it behind the scenes. Isn't that cool? That's cool. In Ephesians 3, Paul has another little prayer here he does. And I like these because what this does, you're not praying for yourself. Because when something's coming against you, they need God as much as you do. And you need to be in prayer about that. So if I can pray a prayer, and I don't know, sometimes you don't know what to pray, right? I know, sometimes I just don't know what to pray. I sometimes don't. Sometimes you get a prayer chain, you're like, God, you know, be in this situation, and you're thinking, You know what I'm saying? You know it's a bad situation, and it hurts you, and your heart hurts, and it's like, God gives you words, though, doesn't he? Yeah. Look at this in Ephesians 3. It says 14 here, in verse 14, Ephesians 3, it says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Sounds like he's praying, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like it. It says, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father, I'm going to read the Amplified, I like it here. It says, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes his title and derives his name, may grant you, Matt, out of the rich treasure of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man or inner woman. By the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? May Christ just be part of who you are. When they see you walk in, like, ooh, that's Christ. You ever think that about somebody when they walk in? Huh? Stand back there. I see him once in a while. It looks like Jesus coming in back. I thought that was Jesus, maybe. Well, you know what I mean? I didn't know. I want to talk to that guy. You know what I'm saying? Verse 17. May Christ, through your, Matt, faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your heart. Matt, your heart. May you, Matt, be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp as all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? Verse 19. That you, Matt, may really come to know practically through experience for yourself the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you, Matt, may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, that may have the richest measure of the divine presence, become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Woo! Amen! Huh? You ever think? I mean, try this. Try it. You put a person's name in there. You pray that prayer that they're going to be filled with God. And His power is going to be on them. And His Holy Spirit's going to be working in them. And you can just see it working. Huh? Try it. Try it. And then what do we do? Ephesians chapter 6. Go to chapter 6. Because they all have self-components. You guys heard about the guy who went to the doctor. He was having some problems and he had some tests done. A couple of days the phone rings and the doctor says, I got bad news and I got really bad news. And what's the bad news? He says, the bad news is the tests show that you got a really strange disease and you're probably going to die. He said, well, what's the really bad news? He said, you only got 24 hours to live, so I should have called you yesterday. I was like, what? Ooh, are you going to be praying? Anybody going to be praying at that point in time? Yeah. Well, let's look at something. I want to show you something. We talked about God's Word being inside of us and we're abiding with Christ. We talked about getting Pop-Tarts. We all know about that deal. So, if you're going to go to Walmart and get any kind of preferred service, you want to take Matt with you because maybe he'd work out for you. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 here. And I want to start in verse 10. I was reading this and I was thinking about it and it just God pounded me on the head with it. It says, in verse 10 it says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And the Amplified says, be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength with His boundless might provides. It's never ending. He's omnipresent. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He's all them big words. Huh? And then some. And more. Verse 11 says, put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. I want to show you something here. Verse 12, what's it say? We read this, we all know it. This is a verse we know, I'm sure. Look at this. It says, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but that person bothers me. That person is me. That person is me. Right? Right? Paul's writing says, you know what? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is what he says here. But, really? But against the powers, the master spirits of the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly sphere. Now wait a minute. This guy is in my face. This guy is in my face. But I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm wrestling against powers in the heavenly spheres. You think that guy's being used by maybe somebody for something bad? You better believe it. Satan's not going to come to you. He's going to use somebody to beat you up. He's going to bring somebody against you that maybe you even love and beat you up. That's wrong. Right? It's wrong. But when you come to the point, say, okay, now wait a minute. We got them two prayers here in Ephesians that I can put that person's name in, that they would be enlightened by God, that God would see, they would see His power and His Spirit. What? Really? You think that's going to work? You better believe it. It can't not but work. You're not fighting against that person. You're fighting against the thing that's in using. That's using him. Huh? You ever think about it like that? I never did either. I always thought we always fight against powers. Yeah, we got stuff. But it's usually always people, ain't it? It's people. And that's why he says, you don't wrestle against this flesh and blood. You're wrestling against what that flesh and blood's being used by. Whoa. So that's a little bit enlightening to me. Let's go on. And we all know this, putting on the armor of God. I mean, we see little signs and all kinds of stuff, the armor of God. Listen to this. I want you to see this. Therefore, put on God's complete armor. This is armor that God supplies you, right? We've talked about this 1,000 times. But I want to show you something that I never saw before, and I thought, dummy. Dummy? Listen to this. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, having done all the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. Amplified's a little windy on that verse. But I like that. If you've done all the crisis demands, you stand. And you stand firm. Okay? Listen to this. Verse 14. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your waist. Belt of truth. My Bible tells me that thy word is truth. God's word is true, right? If you don't know God's word, what's your belt going to look like? Thread? Ain't going to hold my pants up. Right? If I don't know God's word, if His word is not living in my heart, then how big can my belt be? Not very big. It's going to be like putting a thread, piece of binder twine, what we used to do when we was farming, piece of binder twine, hold your pants up, right? Only just one string of that, because I don't have God's Word. Listen to this. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness with God. Your breastplate of righteousness, that is right standing with God. How are you going to have right standing with God if you don't know Him? How are you going to have right standing with God if you don't know what He requires? You can't, right? Let's go on. And having shod your feet in preparation. Wow. To face the enemy with the firm footed stability and promptness and readiness produced by the good news. What? Of the gospel of peace. Man, you mean to have a belt of truth, I got to know God's word? I got to know the truth? To have a breastplate of righteousness, I got to know God's word to know what He wants from me, to be in right standing with Him? You mean to have these shoes of peace? It's the gospel of peace. He keeps going right back to this, doesn't it? All of these pieces of armor are tied directly on how much of this you know. Wow. Let's keep going. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. We got a shield. It's called faith. And you know what? I like this. Let me read this to you. Hebrews 12. Read this to you. We know that we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But I don't want to read this to you. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, it says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, a weight of that sin which so readily and cleverly and deftly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before you. Wow, that's a big thing. You mean when I can't find Pop-Tarts, God set a race before me? And I gotta be standing here, I gotta strip off anything. I could have got mad and got on the floor and kicked my feet and hollered and screamed like a little 2-year-old, right? Could have, yeah, right? Like we do, like I do, right? He says, let's run that race. Look at verse 2. It says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. You mean when that guy's in my face and running his mouth and I'd like to just punch his eyelids right out, I gotta look away at Jesus. Look at this. Who is the source of our faith? Wow. Look at this. Listen to this. Giving the first incentive for our belief, and it's also the finisher. He's the author, and he's the finisher of your faith. When you take up this shield of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the author. He wrote the book on it, and he finished it. And that's faith. You can take that shield and go, yes! Huh? Look at this. I read this and I thought, boy, this is bad. And take the helmet of salvation. Now, our helmet of salvation, we know we are, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're saved. This is the helmet of salvation. Listen to this. And the sword that the Spirit wields, which is what? Word of what? Word of God. I got a pretty simple mind. Stupid, really, most of the time. But when I read this, there's a picture came to my mind. Okay? If I got some verses of Scripture that I know that I'm reading, I'm looking at God's Word, I'm learning it, what's it say? The Holy Spirit wields the Word like a sword. And the picture I had in my mind was the Holy Spirit with a toothpick. Because I don't know much of the Word. What do you mean? He ain't got nothing to swing. He's got a toothpick. A toothpick! How many of you going to fight somebody with a sword with a toothpick? I ain't going to. No way. A toothpick! Wow! So you mean this armor that I put on is only as strong as the Word that I can stand on? Wow. So when we neglect reading the Word, when we neglect studying the Word, we neglect power that was available to each and every one of us. Isn't that cool? Huh? A toothpick! Wouldn't you like to have a big old... big sword. Big sword! Huh? When I read this, I've never read this verse of Scripture, these verses in the context of what I read today. But it looks to me like when you're reading this, His Word is mentioned an awful lot, isn't it? Yes, it is. So when you put on this armor, it'd be like me standing up here with some kiddie armor on. You ever see the little, well, we come through Halloween stuff, these little kiddie armor things they wear? Wouldn't fit me, would it? I'm too big for that stuff, right? I'm going to go out and fight somebody with that little kiddie armor on? How dumb would I be? Pretty dumb. But if I'm going to go fight, and I know that I'm not fighting against people, I'm fighting against the spirit of wickedness that's working through them people. And I can say, you know what? Man, I better get in this Word. I better figure out what God's got for me. If I'm going to abide, if I'm going to have joy, if I'm going to have peace in my trouble, if I'm going to be able to say, I can't get no Pop-Tart. Huh? If I can say that, and God's like, dude, here's your Pop-Tarts. Quit being wimp. Quit whining. You know what I'm saying? If I can say that, if I'm looking at things that way, then I know God is working. And if I can abide with Him, if I can read His Word, and I can study, and I can spend time, and I can pray, and that's where we're going now. Verse 18 says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints. Wow. So you mean I put all this armor on, and then I don't ever stop praying. And that's why I wanted to show you those prayers in Ephesians. You put somebody's name in there. Because sometimes it's hard to pray. When someone's hurt you, it's hard to pray for them. Try it. It's hard. Because you're thinking, second, God, second, second, second. Isn't that what you're thinking? Right? You don't want them. No, I don't want them to be filled with the strength of God. I don't want them to be filled with, I don't want them to know nothing. I want them to just beat them down. Isn't that the way we are? It's human nature. But God in his infinite wisdom says, you know what, son? You need me as much as he does. Wow. And that's what we deal with. This is an interesting sermon. Like I said, I was really concerned about how it was going to turn out. Because the interesting part about it is, God's word is the basis. We read this and we believe what it says, and we can believe that he did die on that cross, and he did suffer for me, and he did go to the grave, and he did rise again, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, and he did send the Holy Spirit with his power that indwells each and every one of us. We can just stand up and say, yes! Woo! Huh? Is that what you do when you got the pop tarts back? Woo! One of those numbers? That's what I would have done. Yes! Praise the Lord! Huh? Right? So when we get our focus, I think every time I preach, I talk about God's Word being in it. There's no greater joy you're ever going to have than if you spend time in God's Word, and you spend time talking to Him, and you spend time looking at how awesome He is, and you spend time with Him, and you talk to Him through the day, and you just, your joy, and when the troubles come upon you, and you want to just say, I quit! And I can look at Him and say, wow, He's given me a race to run. Can't run as fast as I used to, but He gave me a race to run. And I'm going to run that race, and I'm still here. So He still has some race for me to run. I get paid to play in 70-mile-an-hour traffic. I get paid to play in traffic. Isn't that great? Huh? I get paid to get dirty to the point where when I come home, I look like a pig. I do. But I get paid to do it. Huh? And I'm still here doing it. We all can look back at our life and think, boy, there's no reason I should be here. I should be dead. There's no reason. There's none whatsoever. No reason. No way, shape, or form I should be here speaking today. But I am. So God still has a use for me. I was talking to Stan this morning. I said, you know, we're still here because there's something God has for you to do that no one else can do but you. And I believe that. I believe you are immortal. You are immortal. So God has you do what He wants you to do. I believe that. That's why you're still here. That's why I'm still here. We can all look back at our lives. We've all had bad experiences. You know, that close to being dead. That close. Maybe more than once. You know what? God still has a race for you to run. Don't forget, when you're in the trial, to get your eyes off of the Pop-Tarts and onto God. Huh? Easy, Chris. You'll hurt his ribs. Get your eyes off of the Pop-Tart and onto God. Because when you start looking at the problem just takes all your, it takes all your energy. It just sucks the life out of you. It's a sap sucker. And wood cut off, it's just drawing energy from the tree. Get rid of it. When you start looking at the problem, you start turning your back on the problem, and you face the cross. The problem looks pretty small now. I can't even see it. I can't even see the problem now. Ha! I see, look at that. I see Jesus rose from the dead with power. Man, I got my helmet of salvation. I got a breastplate of righteousness. I got a belt of truth. I got shoes that are shod of peace. Man, and I got this shield that is going to quench all the fiery darts of hell. And it's got this sword that the Holy Spirit wields that I can't cut anybody down, but He can. Wow. It's pretty exciting then, doesn't it? Don't look that big then. Problem starts getting really, really small. I found, too, that instead of telling God how big my problem is, I tell my problem how big my God is. Huh? Instead of talking to that, talking to God, it's huge, it's big, it's my tantamount. I say, God, I got this little problem. Huh? And this little problem, say, God, problem, this is my God. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do now? Huh? Didn't that get your mindset different? What is that problem going to do when it comes up against an almighty, omnipresent, omniscient, powerful God? Can't do anything but run. Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? I guess I talked too much. I hope you got something out of this today, because I sure did when I was looking at this. You need to be in God's Word. You need to be looking at His Word. And when something comes against you, you put their name in that prayer and you pray that over them. And don't you stop. You just stay powerful in that. You just keep bringing that up. You keep bringing them up before the Lord, because He is going to work on that situation. It's going to be sweet. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before You this morning, Father. We just can't do anything but stand in total awe of how awesome You are. I can't do justice to how precious You are to us and what You've done for us. But Father, I just pray that Your Word, it does not return void, and Your Word would be settled in someone's heart, people's hearts here today, that Father, they can just look at You. When those problems become so big and they can't be taken care of, they know that God, You are in control. And as easy as that, we can lay our cares upon You, and we can have joy, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Father, knowing that without a doubt, no matter what the outcome, even when sometimes it don't look like anything's happening, You are still God, and You are still in control. Father, I just thank You and praise You for this time. We just want to lift You up, Father, and praise You in the way You should justly deserve. And thank You for this time that we can come and speak Your word, life. Praise You, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and His precious power of who He is. We pray. Amen. I'll have the elders come forward. The praise band wants to come up. I don't want to ask anybody that needs prayer for anything. I mean anything. You need prayer that you maybe get more Pop-Tarts this week? You got prayer? Anything.
God is the God of all problems.